Thursday, February 21st. Today is a little bit unusual because we are going to be having two separate meetings within the confines of one meeting. We'll meet in the finance division, then we'll gavel out and meet in the policy division. We'll be hearing bills in both divisions, so members, stay around. It's not like if you listen through finance, then you can leave, because we have a packed agenda. We'll begin with Senate File 106, and that would be Senator Herr. So, members, we're going to be hearing a couple bonding bills, and I've spoken with Chair Stumpf, and it's his intention that we just hear these, have testimony, have our discussion, then lay them on the table here, and then as a committee, we'll recommend to Senator Stumpf those which we want to see proceed. Senator Herr.
Madam Chair and Senators, this is my, just so that I can note this down, this is my second bill that I present to committee, so I ask that you don't be easy on me.
Senator Herr, we won't be, but we're happy to have you.
So, Madam Chair and members, thank you for this opportunity to bring before you the Senate File 106. And the Senate File 106 is seek $33.9 million in capital investment fund to construct Metropolitan State University first sign education center in its St. Paul campus. And Madam Chair and members, with your approval, I would like to offer an author amendment to bring the dollar amount in the bill into line with MNSCU's most recent 2013 calculation for this project.
Very good. So with that, the A13 amendment is being passed out.
A1.
Thank you.
A1.
Okay, the A1 is being passed out. I'm not sure why we say A1 when it says A13, but... Oh, it is 8:13. Very good. Thank you. So let's see. I think Senator Herr, you want a copy? Do you have a copy of the amendment?
Yes, I do.
So Senator Torres Ray moves to amend Senate File number 106 as follows. Very good.
Okay. Thank you. Metropolitan State is the MNSCU University in...
I'm sorry, we have to vote on that first.
Sorry.
Okay, so all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted, as amended.
Thank you very much, Senators. Metropolitan State is the MNSCU University for the entire Twin City region, and I take great pride that it is located in my Senate District of 67. The school is growing rapidly by meeting the pressing needs of thousands of incumbent and transitioning workers who seek to finish bachelor degrees they started in order to fulfill the potential in our global economy. As my guest will explain later, there is an urgent need for this project to move forward this year. It aligns with the priority Governor's Dayton place on higher education in his State of the State address, and it speaks to this committee priorities of high-quality post-secondary education and 21st-century workforce development. And it addressed the historical disparity in access to higher education in the state of Minnesota. And, Madam Chair, I would like to pass the mic, turn the mic over to our president of Metro State University, Sue Hammersmith, and also Professor John Schneider, to describe the university and this project in detail.
Thank you very much. Ms. Hammersmith, President Hammersmith.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, thank you. For the record, I am Sue Hammersmith, President of Metropolitan State University. I want to begin by echoing the note of urgency that Senator Herr sounded. Minnesota is facing a serious workforce threat to its prosperity and competitiveness. Without focused strategic action, our way of life will be overwhelmed by the tsunami of a global talent scarcity crisis. A global talent scarcity crisis is something which has been discussed very widely in the media and online, in research reports, and in public policy debates. Responding to that crisis is the reason for this process, this project. Allow me to back up for just a moment. I know that many members of the committee are familiar with Metropolitan State's mission and accomplishments over its 40-year history. However, because we have grown and changed so rapidly in recent years, frankly, many of our friends hardly recognize us. So I want to take just a minute to sketch out for you the scale, scope, and role that the university is playing and its relevance to our request today. Some of Metropolitan State University's distinctive characteristics will be very familiar to you. We began as an upper-level baccalaureate-granting institution, and we remain primarily a baccalaureate-granting institution. Two-thirds of our students are part-time students. Most of them are working adults. Our average student's age is 32. 34% of our students are from communities of color. I'd like to repeat that. 34% of our students are from communities of color. That's the most of any Minnesota university. For decades, we have been known for high-demand professional programs in such relevant workforce areas as nursing, accounting, business management, law enforcement, technical communication, and we have the largest drug and alcohol counseling program in the nation. Our tuition and fees are the lowest among Minnesota's universities, just $6,600 a year for full-time students. We're focused on education. We have no athletic program, no rec facilities, no stadiums, no residence halls, no fraternities and sororities. We are just a lean, mean educating machine. We work closely with the 10 Minsku two-year colleges in the metropolitan area. Therefore, we are heavily focused on upper division and graduate programs. 97% of our students are transfer students, and they are ready to complete their degrees when they come to us. They are successful students. We do not offer any remedial coursework. Students who need that have completed that at the colleges before they ever get to our doorstep. Our niche is providing high-quality, flexible degree completion for students who have already completed some of their college coursework. Our mission is critical to Minnesota's talent scarcity challenge. By the year 2020, over 600,000 holders of bachelor's degrees in the state of Minnesota will leave the workforce through retirement, out-migration, or death. Even if every high school graduate in the state of Minnesota attended college and completed a baccalaureate degree, there are not enough 18-year-olds coming up in the pipeline to replace those 600,000 retirees. And the historical trend is that high school students complete college at just over 50%. Minnesota's workforce dilemma can only be resolved if the thousands of former students who have stopped out return to complete what they began and take their careers to the next level. Our programs are located in the Twin Cities and across the Twin Cities, but we have students and alumni in every Senate district in the state of Minnesota. We now have 60 undergraduate majors, a very large College of Arts and Sciences, and we have growing graduate programs. We offer strong programs in information and computer science, physical sciences, biological sciences, earth sciences, science teaching, technical and professional communication. It is the science facility, which is before you today, is the facility for our science programs, and it is a facility which we have survived to this point without. For that, Madam Chair, I would like to turn the mic over to our biology professor, John Schneider.
Thank you, and let the record reflect there is a quorum. Dr. Schneider.
Madam Chair and members, for the record, my name is John Schneider. I'm one of the senior members of the science faculty at Metropolitan State, and the other hat I wear, I'm also the local IFO president for the faculty union. I'm here today for two main issues to help you with, to get you to figure things out. One is, why is the Science Center so incredibly critical for our students? And secondly, why does it have to be this legislative session, this bonding package, and not maybe the next one or the next one? Let me start with a little history. I've been at Metro for 12 years. I joined the faculty back in 2000. The year before I arrived, the science department graduated our first three majors. So that was 12 years ago. 13 years ago was the first time we graduated a major. When I joined the faculty, there were about 30 science students. We had two labs that were basically retrofitted rooms, each lab with one fume hood. We taught all of our science courses, genetics, gen bio, gen chem, whatever we taught in these two rooms. Each room had one fume hood. Skip forward to today. Two labs, 30 students. Skip forward to today. Today we have 15 faculty members teaching major courses to almost 600 students, 600 majors and pre-majors. We still have the same two lab rooms, and those lab rooms are our upper division lab facilities. We've added two closets that we now call instrument rooms. We've converted a next-door room into a dry ecology lab, and we have two labs on the Midway campus where we teach some of the foundation work and all of our general education science courses. So we have gone up by 30 times students, and we've increased with a few small pieces of facility. We will graduate about 55 students this year in the sciences, probably 70 next year, and probably 85 to 90 in 2015. We're growing quickly. We have 600 people in the pipeline. Remind yourself, the 600 science students does not count the other 10,000 students that take general education from us. So we not only have the sciences, but we also have the general education sciences. Here's the first important rub that you need to pay attention to. Why this year? We can't grow anymore. We are on track. If you look at typical universities, the biology program or the science programs are typically the fourth or fifth largest major at Metropolitan State. We're up to nine, but we can't go any further because we literally have no space to put labs, to put students, to put anything. We are maxed out. We're filled to the gills. Last semester, when students were signing up for courses, most of the courses had 20 students waiting to get into the course. They didn't get to take the courses because there's too many students. Second rub that's critically important. The science graduates that are walking away from us today are walking away with an amazing theoretical understanding of the sciences. My colleagues do a great job. But what they aren't walking away with, because we don't have the facilities to put them in labs that have cutting-edge technology, they're not walking away with the kinds of lab skill sets that they require to compete for jobs as well as they could. Okay? Our facilities just don't hack it. It's not the students' fault. It's not really our fault. It's we don't have a building. We don't have the facilities. We have no space to grow. So, if this project is funded in 2013, we will be teaching in an up-to-date science labs by January of 2015. Highlight 2015, we're going to be graduating 100 students probably. So the solution's relatively near. Metropolitan State will be turning out more than 100 biology graduates by 2015, and a new building will also allow us to add several other undergraduate science majors. Chemistry is coming online, environmental science is coming online, besides all the other majors we have. It also will allow us to offer two professional science masters, one in the environmental field and one in the healthcare field. It'll also have a fairly large impact on our health sciences, the nursing and all those kinds of fields, where the students coming in can take some of their basic science courses from us as well as from the community colleges. I went into the White House blog this morning, just because that's what I do when I wake up in the morning, and there was a blurb about STEM education that struck me as, this is just too appropriate, I should read it. So this comes off the White House government blog this morning. I replaced America with Minnesota, so I tampered with it a little bit. The skills today's employees are looking for to fill the jobs that are right there now and will be there in the future is STEM. Indeed, students with STEM skills are a driving force keeping Minnesota's competitive, creative, and innovative. Whether it's by unearthing new discoveries, inventing new technologies, or starting innovative companies, STEM-educated students will make an enormous positive impact when they enter Minnesota's workforce. It's true that when our science, when Minnesota science industry looks for a PhD employee, it's a global search. That's absolutely true. On the other hand, when they're looking for the baccalaureate trained staffer that does the actual lab work in the lab, in a sense the hands of the industry, those jobs are all local. Those are the kinds of jobs that metropolitan state science students are prime to fall into. Think of Medtronic, 3M, R&D, St. Jude. All of those companies hire employees with baccalaureate degrees to do their work in the lab. Metropolitan State's ready to help, but we're hamstrung by the fact we don't have high-tech facilities and our students can't get that opportunity. Our students, on the other hand, I'm incredibly proud of. They're capable of going anywhere any other university employee will go. Out of this year's 50 graduates, I know of 10 already that have post-bac education lined up. Med schools, pharmacy schools, as well as a variety of graduate schools. Our students go places. 50-some graduates, 10 of which are going to grad school or some sort of professional school. That's as good as any Tier 1 college in the country, perhaps a little better. So our science department has been pushing too long, too many students through too narrow of a funnel for too long. Medical schools, graduate schools, employers like Ecolab, 3M, the DNR, are all looking for talented, state-of-the-art science and technology graduates. They should be able to find them right here in the Twin Cities. As I said, we do an excellent job teaching theory, but we're hamstringed by our inadequate facilities. Our students are walking out the door with a substandard laboratory skill set. They're not as good, it's not as good as it should be. Finally, Sue mentioned the fact that the university's demographics had a certain tone. If you were to visit the science classrooms on our campus, I actually had the lab techs count students and kind of throw them into categories. Two things would become incredibly apparent. One, our science students are in part our typical metro students. Sue mentioned the age, young adults, mid-20s through late 30s. But we also have a huge cohort. It's almost half the introductory classes these days of your typical college age, 18, 19-year-old student coming in. And if you looked at the ethnic balance of our classrooms, the campus is 34%. The sciences are almost 50% of color. So take home there is underrepresented urban students of color are coming to Metropolitan State eager to study science. They do well, and they deserve to train on the same quality of equipment and facilities that our sister Minsku universities have. Madam Chair, that concludes our prepared remarks. President Hammersmith and myself are more than happy to answer any questions you have.
Questions? Senator Kent.
Mine is more of a comment, thank you, Madam Chair, but an opportunity to expand a little bit. As you mentioned, 3M is an important part of your where your graduates go there in my district. Metro State is right next to my district. And, in fact, President Hammersmith is a constituent. I have heard through my conversations with 3M and just my knowledge of the company, they are facing a big retirement issue. And they've said openly that they're not going to be able to home grow all the talent that they will be needing. So we ought to be home growing as many as we can. Would you talk some more about where your curriculum fits in with 3M's hiring and what you know about that?
Sure. Actor?
John Schneider. Couple big pieces. We offer advanced biology degrees. We'll be bringing on an advanced chemistry degree. We'll be offering, by the time the building comes up and running, we'll be offering professional science masters in both more environmental flavored things as well as the healthcare type things. Two pieces. The staffers that work in the labs, generally speaking, have baccalaureates and they're trained in the sciences, either chemistry or biology. Molecular biology, genetics, all that flavor. We teach all that stuff. That's actually my field. I'm a cancer biologist. So we're very much prepared for that. The fact that we're bringing on professional science masters, actually for the local industry, a lot of the issues with employees that have baccalaureate degrees or master's degrees or even PhDs sometimes is they lack people skills. So the professional science master is a blend of more science aptitude as well as those soft skills of management, of people skills, of presentation skills, of gathering work groups. And we have intended to bring on two of those when we have a facility that we can actually house it, i.e. a science building. So we'll be poised to add a couple of hundred graduates every year to the urban core, urban students with lots of ethnic flavor that would make perfect employees for all these employers.
Thank you.
I have a question that could be answered by either of you. We had, when we talked prior, I asked a question about, is there any opportunity for a partnership with another institution, whether it be the University of Minnesota or another technical college, MinSCU, or private, not-for-profit, you know, any of them, is there an opportunity to use somebody else's space and have some kind of a partnership? And I remember the answer, but I think it's important to ask it on the record because I want everyone to know that those are the kinds of ways of thinking that we think are so important for our future, that investing in bricks and mortar at a time when, you know, technology is changing so fast and resources are diminishing, that the first question should always be asked, is there another way? So could you address that?
Senator Bonoff, I would be happy to address that question. We do, in fact, partner with all of the two-year institutions that are MinSCU institutions located here in the Twin Cities. We have very close working relationships with them, and they have our major feeder institutions are St. Paul College, MCTC, Normandale Community College, North Hennepin Community College, Century College, and Inver Hills Community College. They all have very good science programs at the lower level. And the question that you're asking is understandable, but if you stop to consider, we are an institution serving almost 12,000 students. If you had a traditional residential campus of that size, you would have a very large science facility that offers both the lower level and the upper level courses altogether, or you might have more than one. Many institutions have more than one science building. The way we have built out the MinSCU system here in the metropolitan area is that they have science facilities that are very good and that get that pipeline going. They're full with what they do. We occasionally do teach a course on their campus, but they cannot absorb the quantity of the science majors that we have, and we cannot absorb the quantity of the science coursework that they do. You also have differences in the kinds of student research spaces and equipment that you need at the upper and graduate level as at the lower level. So,
thank you very much. Another question we had was last year, I believe your request was $31 million, and so I was wondering why the request is a different amount this year.
President Senator Bonoff, thank you for the question. The Minsky system recognizes that there are inflationary factors as buildings are not built. If this project is not funded this year and comes back in the next legislative session as part of the bonding request from Minsky, the amount slated is $38 million. The amount that is before you today is significantly less than that, and that represents the savings that we can have by getting a jump start and getting this this project started this year. The design work has been completed, and it has been filed with the City of St. Paul, and we already are in the process of getting things like air rights over the Skyway. And so this is a project that truly is shovel-ready at this time when the interest rates are so low.
President Hammersmith, that surprised me that you think the jump in cost between this year and next year would be so significant, because we still are at a time when there really is negligible inflation and the interest rates are very low. So I'm just wondering why there would be such a significant jump in cost from one year to another. See, I told you, Senator Herr, we wouldn't just be easy.
Yeah. I expected that.
Okay.
I can stand.
Okay. I am asking Brian Yoletz, who is with the system office, to help me with this answer.
He's good.
The man that has the number formulas.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, Committee, my name is Brian Yoletz. I'm the Associate Vice Chancellor for Facilities for the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities at the system office. And then, indeed, the numbers you see are reflective of the inflation that occurs with numbers given from MMB. And we're in the process now of developing our fiscal year 14 bonding request. As you know, this is an off year and kind of a unique situation we're in. And we're finalizing those numbers now. So there is an escalation, and the specific number is on the order of $38 million.
Okay. Hard to understand, but thank you. And we understand the urgency, and we have heard that you're at the top of Minsky's list in terms of priority, so thank you very much. Do you know where exactly you rank on their overall?
Chairman Bonoff, we are at the first rank in Minsky's list after the HEPR projects.
Very good. Thank you. So any other questions for committee members? With that, I'll entertain a motion. Senator Kent.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move that Senate file number 106 as amended be
recommended to pass and laid on the table.
Pass and laid on the table. Thank
very
you.
Very good. Thank you very much. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. Good work, Senator Herr.
Thank you.
Okay. So next we have Senate file 231. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Before you today, we have Senate file number 231. This is a HEPR project that you just heard described a little bit. They are the first priorities for Minsky that you just heard described. What that stands for is higher education, asset preservation, and repair. If you're new to the Senate, that's a term that you'll become very familiar with if you get involved in the Capital Investment Committee and others in the area of your jurisdiction. For higher education. What this is a bill that provides financing through the bonding bill to do remodeling and repair. Specifically, this bill asks for $11,799,000. Essentially, three-quarters of it goes to a specific project at St. Cloud State University. The other quarter of it approximately goes to the St. Cloud Technical and Community College, both is located in St. Cloud. Madam Chair, it's a very, very simple bill, and I hope your committee can recommend that it head to the Capital Investment Committee. Incidentally, I should mention that Senator Stumpf The chair of the Capital Investment Committee has also come on as an author, which I think communicates a strong support from that committee to you as a higher ed committee, and hope you can move it forward. Thank you.
Senator Peterson, that was pretty smart. We should all take a note. Thank you. Very good, Mr. Yolitz.
Madam Chair, we can talk specifically about the project if we need to, if folks have questions. Otherwise, if there's no further questions. Essentially, the projects, as you can imagine, focus on energy efficiency. Bringing these, one is a 60-year-old building up to a situation where it will operate much more efficiently and cost-effective than it does now. Both those projects are really fall into that category.
Senator Sharon?
To move this Senate File 231.
Very good. So Senator Sharon moves that Senate File 231 be recommended to pass and laid on the table for possible inclusion or possible referral and recommendation to the Capital Investment Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is passed.
Thank you very much.
Yep, thanks very much.
Madam Chair, I think we were a little too easy on Senator Peterson.
Well, he clearly asked for the vote quickly. So, members, now what we're going to do is we're going to adjourn the finance part of our committee, and then for those of you who came a little bit later, we're gaveling back
in.
I was
here on time.
Very good. Thank you, Senator Lurie. We're gaveling back into the policy committee, where we will have a couple orders of business before us. So, with that, there being no further business before the finance committee is adjourned.